Welcome back to Lost in Theaters, the podcast where we talk about movies that have slipped through the cracks of pop culture. My name's Rachel, and I'm here with my beloved sister,
Ruth.
This week, our podcast is divided into three parts. The no-spoiler section, the medium-spoiler section, and the full plot breakdown, spoilers out the window. If you wanted not to know what's going to happen, you should leave immediately. section.
Yeah.
This week's film is fascinating to me as a film. No, that's not super true. It's a little true. It's sort of...
What's it called?
Well, here's the thing. It's a homophone. No.
Homophones. I'm sorry.
It's a homonym. It's a homonym.
Homonym?
Yeah.
Homonym. Hominy?
Homonym.
Hominy.
Homonyms, they are just words that... Oh, no, those are just the same words.
Dang.
I was like, they're the same. They look the same, but they mean different things.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah, this just... Are you ready for the title?
Yeah.
You've been ready for a while now.
I've been ready.
Okay. The Fast and the Furious. It came out in 1954.
Is this different than the Fast and the Furious franchise?
Correct. This movie, Ruth, 1954, okay?
1954.
Yeah, it's in black and white.
Okay.
It's, so you gotta like old movies. And, in fact, it isn't one of those old movies... And what's odd about old movies, I find, not odd, but different from, I feel like, a lot of movies that come out now?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not necessarily true. I feel like a lot of the old movies that I watch are set at the time where they're, that they're filmed in. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There are, of course, I think of stereotypical, you know, cowboy movies are the exception, and castle movies, like manor movies where they like sword fighting and stuff. But I think now science fiction is a really big deal. Alternate timelines is kind of a bigger deal.
It's a plague of timelines.
It's a plague of timelines. But this movie is set in the 50s.
Okay.
When it was made. So again, if you want insight into the nature of what it was like to be in the 50s.
1950s.
Additionally, as opposed to the women of the 90s, which G.K. Chesterton at one point refers to the women of the 90s, and he's referencing the 1890s.
Oh, really?
Because he didn't live before the 90s.
Good point.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense.
I thought this offered a very interesting perspective on the women in the 50s. I was surprised at the friendship in this film.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It should be noted, too, though, that this movie comes just sort of... It comes before the first James Bond movie, which I watched the first James Bond movie years ago and was aghast at how misogynistic it was.
Uh-huh.
I was prepared for misogyny, okay?
Yeah.
I was prepared for the misogyny of this film.
Uh-huh.
There are questionable moments in it where, you know, people behave inappropriately, and some might even say certain characters get a kind of Stockholm syndrome.
Oh.
But... I think it reflects a kind of realism in a weird, dangerous kind of way, but it makes for a good story.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun to watch. The acting is great. The filming style for the 50s is great.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it should have a place on your, on your old movies playlist. Yeah. So if you're in the mood for, it's also a car movie. Like The Fast and the Furious. It would have been interesting if it wasn't a car movie, if it was about Jack and the Beanstalk or something.
Fast and the Furious, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
I'll save comments about the medium spoiler section. Save comments about its relationship to the current franchise until the medium spoiler section.
Okay.
Because there are things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, appropriate ratings.
Mm. If you're used to watching old movies, then it's fine. It does not appear on the Shakespeare scale. It started raining, folks, and we don't know where that came from, because it was sunny, like, 2 seconds ago.
Yep.
So, that it's not really on the Chaucer scale. No, not really on the Shakespeare scale. There are some, like I said, questionable behaviors by men towards women in it. But I think it feels kind of Great Gatsby in that way. Very...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Very, what's his name? Scott F. Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Could easily have, like, written this
Fitz.
Kind of vibe for the... Yeah. That's
cool.
The kind of thing.
Alrighty.
Medium spoilers.
Let's go.
Okay. Medium spoilers. So, The Fast and the Furious...
Uh-huh.
The name and the recent movie that came out remind me of Achilles.
Oh, we're doing, like, classics.
Well, I just want to say, so, because the character of Achilles in the Iliad famously is full of rage, and he goes total beast mode and destroys everything.
Rage, goddess.
Sing the rage of Peleus' son Achilles. Exactly.
Murderous.
Doomed.
Doesn't he, like, try to attack the river or something?
He does. He straight up takes on the river.
It doesn't work.
No.
Spoilers.
It goes poorly for Achilles. Okay, so
although
the thing
not
is,
very poorly.
The main character in the Fast and the Furious movie from whenever that came out, the 2000s, 90s, the main character's name's Dom, also has this kind of rage, the Achilles type of rage.
Okay.
But he also drives cars and is fast. So
yes.
He's got the speed and this kind of uncontrollable rage situation.
Okay.
What's so odd? Not odd, but this carries over into... It's also present in this movie, 1950s
okay.
Fast and Furious. You've got someone with a criminal past, a guy with a criminal past, because that's Dom in the other movie, has
yeah.
a criminal past. So in this movie, what is his... Webster. he's got this criminal past... That he...
It's actually about Spider-Man.
he doesn't want to get caught for, and he drives cars.
Okay.
There's a car component, which is why they're fast. And there is this kind of underlying rage situation, which I think plays out, you know, in the film, sort of, you know, don't be so furious, kind of dynamic. The other aspect... Okay, so the current Fast and Furious franchise bought this title.
Oh.
Yeah. So they bought out the old movie, which is, I mean, they did. Well, they wanted
okay.
the title, you know? So they did that, and other
weird
than...
Weird flex, but okay.
Other than the title, they don't really share much in common with the plot, the first Fast and Furious movie and this Fast and Furious movie.
Okay.
However...
Oh, no.
The current Fast and Furious... franchise was rebooted with movie 4.
Uh-huh.
And it was titled... Okay, so, bear with me.
I
Number am. 1 was The Fast and the Furious. Number 2 was Too Fast, Too Furious. Number 3 was Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Number 4, Fast and Furious. 4.
Can you see me flipping a table right now?
Yeah. Okay. So they just took out the articles.
okay.
However... The fourth film in the current franchise.
Fourth film?
Yeah, there's lots of... The fourth film in the current franchise...
That could be heard wrong.
...bears the most resemblance to this, the 1954
really?
Film.
Okay.
Yeah, because it involves crossing borders through mountains, getting into Mexico kind of situation.
Okay.
Racing over things to get to Mexico kind of stuff.
Okay. Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. That is where the similarities stop. Again, besides the fact that the main character is Fast and Furious.
okay.
Oh, no.
Well, I feel like I've been prepared.
What if...
What?
Oh, this is interesting. So, in the current franchise, there's the two main characters. There's Paul Walker, who plays, Oh, dear. There's, what's his name? Now I'm just thinking of Paul Walker's character as Paul Walker.
I don't know.
Oh, it's totally gone. Oh, Rachel. Brian. That's what it is. Okay.
Brian started the fire!
What if Brian is fast and Dom
Ryan.
Is furious?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then what if in this movie there's two main characters as well? and Webster is fast, and the other character, who is a girl, is... No, no. Webster is furious, and the girl is fast. That would make sense as well, actually, considering...
Since I have seen none of the franchise, nor this particular movie, I can neither confirm nor deny any of the things that you have postulated.
Wow, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, here's the thing. This movie, I'll give the medium spoiler beginning summary bit, is that you've got a guy who is on the run for running trucks off the road.
What?
Like semi-trucks. He was arrested, he escaped and ran away, and he hijacks a woman's car, and they're gonna drive over the border to Mexico.
Okay.
So that he can escape the law.
Okay.
That's the premise.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say running trucks off the road,
yeah,
what do you mean?
The opening sequence is of a semi-truck, but it's an old semi-truck, so it's not, like, the new kind of, it's not as big as a new truck.
Okay.
So it looks more like what I would call a lorry.
Okay.
Which is a British truck.
Right, but what's going on?
It plummets down the side of a mountain. It rolls down a hill and there's fire. Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Right. That's the question.
Okay. What if it was an accident?
Well, you know, all the truck drivers are convinced that it wasn't an accident.
Okay.
We meet one in the opening scene.
Oh, okay.
And he says... You know, oh, we're looking for him. He's running trucks off the road.
Oh.
And it's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah. So, other fun medium spoiler section comments involve the fact that the lady whose car is hijacked, she's driving a Jaguar. And,
That is fun.
A racing car, in fact. And she herself is a racer. She races.
Oh, yeah.
It's the 50s. I didn't know women raced in the 50s, and I looked it up. And actually, that's women in racing has been a thing for a long time. They have a whole, there's like a whole history there. The two most famous ladies, there's Anne Hall and Pat Moss are actual women who, like, were very well known for racing quickly and winning races.
Winning.
Yeah, for winning.
I think it's called winning.
Racing quickly. I am not a car person. But I still think that's really awesome. I didn't realize that they were accepted in the sport.
I did have a brief dream of becoming a car racer.
You?
Yeah.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
What kind of car would you drive?
I don't know. I know so little about vehicles that I realized this wasn't a sustainable thing.
Okay, then. Sounds good.
But I would really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, fun fact.
Fun fact about sister. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns. Should we move to the major spoiler section?
Let's go!
Okay.
Whee! Ding!
So, like I said, the opening scene, car barrels off a cliff, and, then we follow, a woman. She's driving in this Jaguar, and she, stops at, like, a roadside restaurant, and again...
Diner?
Yeah!
Okay.
It's a diner, and I just felt like I understood the 50s just a little bit more.
Oh.
In a weird way. These sorts of places don't really exist in the same way.
They don't.
It looked like a shack.
Yeah.
Shack with a counter in it and five seats and a woman behind the counter who couldn't find the can of pineapple juice.
Why do we need pineapple juice?
Or the lady wanted pineapple juice. It should be noted that this that actress is famous. Or she's in a lot of classic Disney films. Iris Adrian is her name.
Iris Adrian.
If you look her up, you'd definitely recognize her.
Okay.
I couldn't remember the name of her character in things, so that was a problem. But she's great.
Iris Adrian plays the lady behind the counter?
Yes. Cool. Yes, she does. So, the truck driver, he's like, let me take you in for a drink. And she's like, I kind of want to stay here. And and he's like, fine, I was just trying to be nice. And then he goes in and not bluster, but she goes in. And then he starts talking about this guy who's running trucks off the road.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know, and he was just being nice. That's great. And there's another guy in the bar. And that guy, it's a perfect bait and switch, you know, because he's like the good looking guy in the corner. And turns out he's actually the bad guy who's running people off the road.
Yeah.
And so the truck driver and Mr. Webster have a brawl.
Oh.
Who's
Mr. Webster?
Webster's the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And Webster ends up on... No. The truck driver ends up on the floor. He takes the lady, takes the car, and they're on the run. They thought the truck driver was dead. Oh, I thought the truck driver... Well, everybody thought the truck driver was dead. And then it turns out he wasn't. So that was nice.
Yay.
Yes. So, Webster says they're going to go to the Mexico border.
Toodaloo.
So we've learned different things. So, yeah, by this time we've learned that the lady is she's a racer.
Okay.
And, seems to know what she's doing. They stop at a gas station, and I would like to say that in the window of the gas station, there was this, this sign that said Firestone. Do you know the Firestone auto parts?
No.
It hasn't changed.
Oh my gosh. Fire, yes.
Yeah. The font has not changed, Ruth.
I mean, it's pretty timeless.
Yeah. My mind was kind of blown. So, she tries to sneak out of the ladies' room while they're at the gas station. It doesn't work out. Meanwhile, the cops are trying to track down the car. The lady at the gas station says it's a jalopy, because that's what the truck driver called it, because he was upset at the lady.
Yeah.
What is her name? Connie, I think, is the driver.
The lady driver?
Yeah, the racer. So they're trying to go to Mexico, but the police follow them, and actually their taillight was out, so it's not a big problem. But then there's like a blockade, so they don't really know what to do while they're stuck in these mountains. They have some awkward exchanges in the mountains.
I got lost.
Oh, okay. So Webster and Connie are driving to Mexico, but there's a blockade. So then they decide to go around and go through the mountains.
Okay.
Into Mexico. But there's still cars, so they don't really know what to do. They spend the night randomly in the mountains. He says he escaped from prison, or the news says he escaped from prison.
Webster?
And, yeah. And,
Webster's the bad guy, right?
Webster, yeah. At one point, he coasts. He puts the car in neutral and coasts around some policemen.
Huh.
Which I thought was an interesting way to get around cops so they can't hear you.
Oh.
Kind of thing. Then they come to another blockade. And they're like, what am I gonna do? And he threatens her. He's got a gun. It's quite scary, actually. I was kind of surprised by how alarmed I was at the guy.
Yeah.
He seemed very alarming. So, there's a bunch of cars going through the checkpoint, and they're all race cars.
Huh.
And it's because there's going to be a race.
Ah.
In the park that they're going into. And so they pretend like they're going to be a part of the race.
Yeah.
And she, of course, teases him.
Uh-huh.
Because she says that he can't drive. Well, it's like she can, apparently.
Yeah.
So she thinks. Meanwhile, there's this very kind of funny scene where the cops, the unconscious truck driver is unconscious.
Uh-huh.
And the cops are like, try to understand us. What kind of car was it? And the man is somnambulant. Like, not somnambulant. He's just totally out. But he whispers, Jag. And they're like, what does that mean? And then they realize it's a Jaguar. So now they're looking for a Jaguar car.
Okay.
And, she's like, so we should probably go register. She knows how to drive these things. But she was gonna drive the car, except that the day before, there was a meeting, and they decided that the track was too difficult for women.
What?
Yeah. And I was so upset. I was like, I wanted to see her.
Yeah.
I wanted to see her do that. But yeah, so it didn't work out tragically, but he's gonna do the driving instead. The guy is, and he's gonna take her with him on. He can take her with him on the practice rounds because he doesn't trust her, of course, because she's gonna turn him in probably. And they have a they're gonna have to do something about that. So he says he'll take her with him on the practice rounds because he doesn't want to leave her alone, and then. Then he'll go by himself on the actual day of the race. So, They leave their car at check-in, and they're walking down the road. And it should be noted that at this point, Connie has met other racers.
Okay.
And they're, like, her friends. They know her.
Oh.
They're like, hey, sorry you can't race, you know. And, you know, they're very sympathetic.
Oh, really?
Yes!
Weird.
I was so... Was weird, not weirded out, but it was just very, like, a mutual, like, you're a racer. So they're walking down the road, and this other lady is driving in a car.
Uh-huh.
And they stop, they sit, the ladies see each other, and they stop, and they say, hey. And she's also a racer.
Yeah.
And, she's like, so, oh, did I skip something? No, I didn't. So they're, oh, no, I did skip something. Oh, that's my bad. They, I forgot to mention that during the practice race, the man has to wear this helmet that looks like, an officer in World War II, a British officer in World War II in Africa, in the North African front. It was very confusing as a hat one would wear when you're racing.
Is this what you identified?
That's what I thought it looked like. It
That's
looks like
really that. Specific. Like, that is absurdly specific.
It's got, like, flaps and it's white.
Uh-huh.
You know? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the way
do.
That it sits on your head, it's very odd. Anyways. So, they qualify for the race. And then Connie... They're looking for a place to stay, so Connie takes them to this, like, place that she knows.
Uh-huh.
It's an old shack, and she wants to hear his side of the story, which he then explains that he was an independent trucker.
Okay.
That the company got mad at him for being an independent trucker, and they were running him off the road, but it just happened that he ended up running the other guy off the road.
Oh.
Like, and so they got mad at him. And it was downhill from
okay.
there. And he says that the juries are stacked against him.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, he's worried. But then it turns out that the secret spot that she had found actually wasn't that secret. And...
Wait, she found a secret spot?
Well, she had a secret spot.
For
she,
what?
So that they could hide from the cops for a while. And there was, like, a farmer. And he was like, you know, what are you doing here? And she didn't know, but then... Webster doesn't trust her again, and actually there's this fascinating line where they go back, and this is when they're gonna go register their car, and one of her friends is like, hey, you wanna go get lunch? And they're like, sure. And then, he's like, where have you been, you know? And they're like, oh, you know, whatever. And he says, this isn't a swinging romance, is it? And then she goes, of course not. And I just think that it was such a fascinating thing, like, because I didn't think he wasn't, like, jealous that she might have been romantically involved. The assumption was that they weren't romantically involved.
What?
The two people, the Webster and her. Because
uh-huh.
nobody else knows that he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And his assumption was that they weren't dating,
uh-huh.
even though they were, like, driving in this car
yeah.
over the countryside thing. I think that switched. I feel like now, if there's two people in a car... The assumption is often, like, oh, they're probably together.
Huh.
Whereas, I would have thought that would be the same thing in the 50s, but...
Interesting.
It doesn't seem to be that way. Which I thought was nice. so, there's, yeah, there's a... They watch a race, and, you know, you see lots of car races. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This is when she meets, they're walking down the road. They've checked in their car for, to be, like, checked over for their race tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when she meets her friend, another lady driver who's driving in the opposite direction. And they, like, encounter each other. And she is having a party for all of the women drivers who were not allowed to race. Apparently, there were a lot of them, which I love so much. They were just like, we'll have a party instead. And they were gonna go to this party, except... Then she says that her dad is a cop and they're looking for a man who they think is in the park.
Oh.
And so then they don't go.
Dang.
Instead...
That sucks.
They end up walking an absurd amount of time in the dark and everybody's tired.
Aww.
And they end up finding a barn. Then they have a heart-to-heart in the barn. And then it's like a romantic barn situation. And then in the morning, Let's see.
Is that on the Shakespeare scale?
No. Okay. That's the thing, is it wasn't really on the Shakespeare scale.
Or the Chaucer scale?
No, it wasn't really on the Chaucer scale. Okay. It could have been. It probably would have been if it was a modern film.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't in this one.
Nice.
So in the morning, however, they have another heart-to-heart, and he leaves her in the barn and locks the door.
Okay.
Because he likes her and doesn't want her to turn him in.
Okay.
Or something like that. So, the race starts. He does great. He...
Really?
He's doing good. He had to do a practice run, and he can drive. There's this interesting aspect of the race cars that involve, you know how in the mountains there's things for trucks?
Yeah.
When they're going too fast and they can go up the ramp? Mm-hmm. It's that.
Oh.
But for racing and corners.
Yeah.
And suddenly, also, I understood that's what they're doing in Mario Kart.
Yes.
Yeah. When you can't turn a corner, sometimes there's like a fake corner.
Yeah.
It's longer, but it still works. That was exciting. So, however, do you know what Connie does because she can't get out of the barn?
Burns it down.
Wow. That was so insightful. She does. She has these matches, and she lights the door on fire.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
Yeah. So she lights the door on fire, and then someone comes and gets her out. So it doesn't burn all the way down.
Yeah.
It's just a fire. With her inside of it. This is a bad idea, Ruth.
Well, I mean, do you just want to stay there or like, die quickly or slowly?
I would try to punch the door. They're wood.
Oh.
You've got tools in that shed. With like a, you can use like a jackhammer
or a...
That's
how you break bones,
a wrench. Use a wrench.
Okay.
To wrench some boards apart.
Okay. That makes sense.
There's options.
That's true.
Okay.
Fair.
So... She calls the cops as soon as she can, tells them that the person they're looking for is Webster, and he's number 55,
what?
And he's in the race. And then, she borrows her friend's car.
Uh-huh. Does she get to race after all?
Well, she doesn't take the race, actually. She takes the highway, but that's chill, because faster. So, meanwhile, Webster makes it to Mexico, makes it through, and, one of the other people competing in the race, follows, but there's sort of like a kerfuffle at the border, and the other racer stops, and the border police say, he's wanted, and the racer fellow says, oh, I'll go get him, so he races off, and the race is still on, but then there's a crash.
What?
Because it's a race, and it's chaotic, and
and
they're trying to get each other off the road kind of thing,
uh-huh.
And there's a crash, so the other guy tips over and falls down, and Webster stops his car, gets out of the car, runs down to help the person who is in the crash, and takes the guy out, puts him on the road, is smoking everywhere, the cops are showing up, but Connie also shows up just in time, and she's so happy because he pulled the guy out of the fire, and, you know, he's like, well, you're a pretty disastrous character yourself. There's that sort of a dialogue they have. And then and then the line is, this is just the beginning. And the movie ends.
What?
But the idea is that he's turning himself in. He's gonna go back to the courts.
Okay.
And he's gonna try to think that the world is not against him.
Okay.
And
it is, though.
You think?
Yeah. Although, well, I don't know. I don't know what the legal system would have been like at that time.
Yeah. So he was worried that he wouldn't get a fair deal, but she convinced him to try to get a fair deal.
Huh.
Yeah. And then this was just the beginning. It reminded me of the final line of Casablanca, which is, this seems like the beginning of a beautiful friendship. But I don't know what the his name is, unfortunately. I've forgotten. There's another character there. But yeah, this is just the beginning, they say.
And that's the end.
That's the end. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's odd because...
It seems like a chaotic movie.
It is a bit chaotic. Yeah. But it felt like... It didn't feel like too much to have in a movie.
Yeah.
It felt very contained.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if the movie were to be made now in the same way, if they would continue on to the court situation.
Hmm.
In the current Fast and Furious franchise, there is a plot where Dom ends up in front of a court and he gets turned in, he goes to jail instead of he was hoping to get released because he helped the cops with something or other.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Dang.
And Brian was very upset.
Yeah.
And then that leads into the fifth movie,
How many are there, incidentally?
The 9th one just came out.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's much more than I
have never been more alarmed by a movie in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I loved all of the movies leading up to the 9th one. The 9th one, I was shocked.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was wild. Anyways, but this is the Fast and Furious, yeah, from the 1954. For those who wanted to know what it was about, you know? Maybe you didn't want to watch the movie. It is only, like, an hour and 15 minutes long, so theoretically you could have watched half of it by now, but it's fun. Thoughts, questions, comments, concerns?
They bought it? They bought the name, yeah. Dang.
Would you watch this movie, Ruth?
Maybe.
If you were in the mood for an old movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth...
Black and white.
Black and white.
I pictured it in my head in color.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if we could... If you could, like, colorize it.
Maybe. That takes a lot of work sometimes.
It does, I'm told. Yeah. I used to have to dye the ink... What is it called? The film itself.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore.
They do something different now. Yeah.
Anyways, should we finish with a song?
Yeah.
What should the song be, Ruth?
Car Wars, sailing the deep blue sea.
A little tight, looks rather light. A Car Wars on his knee. Anyways.
Well, that was a story.
So, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Lost in Theaters in all of those platforms. We're also have a YouTube channel situation going on, where we're posting summer episodes that are special and different from these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But we will continue to post our Lost in Theaters on podcast platforms. You will continue getting the normal podcasts in the normal places if you're interested. If you want more, you can visit the YouTubeness. Yeah. Also Lost in Theaters there. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a good day.